You're listening to Artbeat. I'm Danae, and Beck is with me too. We're sharing the desk today. Such a treat.
I'm pressing the buttons and you're giving me advice.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, we're about to speak to the person that first gave me advice about community radio. The first time I sat in on a radio program, it was Drastic on Plastic around 1991 in the old Sanders Building in UWA campus many, many years ago. Kath Letch is the Digital Radio Project Manager for the peak body of community broadcasting in Australia, the CBAA. Kath was a long-time General Manager of Triple R in Melbourne. And what must feel like a lifetime ago, she was a station manager of RTR-FM. In fact, I don't think we'd be celebrating 45 years of this 6UWA UVS RTR-FM 92.1 without Kath's work. She's on the phone. Kath, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you and everyone at RTR, Danae.
I'm so excited to chat with you. Thank you for putting down whatever it is that you're doing to share with us perhaps some of your early memories of the station that you are allowed to share on the air, because I bet there are plenty that wouldn't pass muster.
Yes, there's probably a few that don't belong on the airwaves. And it's such a long time ago, I always feel a bit anxious talking about things that are so far back, and people ask questions and you think, I don't know. I can't remember anything. It was, you know, 35 years ago. But, yeah, it was funny listening to your introduction and thinking about the old building of what was 6UVS and the corridor parties that would occasionally happen there. And yes, it's so fantastic to listen to RTR from time to time and to look at, you know, all kinds of old and new shows that are still going, because I remember very clearly when we went back to air in 1991 as RTR-FM and, you know, quite a lot of people who said in their wisdom, it won't last 6 months. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always very happy when I see those things, and here it is having its 45th birthday.
Kath, what was it like in that late 90/91 period when you were fighting to keep us on the air? What was that period like?
Well, I don't know, it was sort of a chaotic period, I guess, you know, when 6UVS went off the air, it was a very sudden event. There was a meeting of the University Council, and it was decided that the station would not continue on air as of midnight that night.
Wow.
And so it was sort of literally called off. And we had a volunteers meeting that night, and it was announced at the volunteers meeting that the radio service would be switched off at midnight. And as, you know, anyone with any involvement in radio knows, the moment radio is switched off is a very odd moment. And there was a chap called Fred Haywood who had been the tech at 6UVS since it started. And it was the only time I ever heard Fred Haywood say, fuck. I remember him walking back into the room after the meeting and saying, fuck, really loudly, and throwing his keys somewhere. And because he had put, you know, it was the first FM broadcaster in Perth, and he had put such a lot of work into the station and into the quality of the station's sound. And so it was very distressing for him to think that someone was going to turn the transmitter off. And literally, you know, that night we decided, okay, they were going to turn the transmitter off, but the service was not going to disappear. And that was the start of putting it back together. and 6 months later, it went back to air as RTR.
So many...
With exactly the same format.
Right.
As it went off air. That was the deal with volunteers, that we will put back on air what went off air. And so that's what happened.
It's evolved a bit since then. There's so many shades
absolutely
of wrong.
And so it should, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a community station. It should reflect the community it's part of. And so it's an endless change process.
Do you remember the first time you heard it, Kath? Because you're not from sunny Perth originally.
No, I landed in Perth in 1977 from Melbourne. And I pretty much heard 6UVS straight away. I was working at a dinky little vegetarian restaurant called the Sun Trolley, and some of the people involved in that restaurant were doing shows on what was then known as the NCM Collective, which was the non-classical music programs, because UVS was set up as a talks and classical music station.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have lots of silly jokes about contemporary music was fine too. And, and as I recall, these sort of early days of NCM meetings were basically parties at a house in Nedlands somewhere that Olwen Williams lived in. And which, you know, largely amounted to a whole lot of people standing around having a drink and cracking silly jokes about, you know, jazz or folk or contemporary music was fine music too.
Sounds like Ollie. And so what led you into actually getting involved?
Well, I think literally, you know, friends and music.
Mm.
You know, everyone was into music, going to lots of music shows. I guess, you know, music is still a strong part of a lot of people's lives. But, you know, in the late 70s, it was a whole sense of sort of identification or, you know, what was quaintly called alternative culture. And so, you know, other people were doing shows. You know, you would wait for sort of new releases to come out, order them through 78s, that kind of thing. And it was really, I mean, over the years, of course, my interest in radio broadened considerably. And in many ways now, what I'm more engaged with is kind of talks and discussion radio. But, you know, at that time, you know, I think it was friends and music. There wasn't really... I did do some sort of training course, but, you know, really the only training I remember is, like, use these buttons, do not touch anything on the top layer of buttons.
It's still the rule, Kath.
Don't play anything with fuck in it or you'll be suspended. And that was about it, really.
I forgot to give a language warning before this interview with Kath Letch. I should have known better.
Well, you know, it's now just a normal part of the everyday vernacular, but in those days it was a 2-week suspension.
Kath, in 1977, when 6UWA started, Murdoch University was only 2 years old. So I just give that as a little context of it is only 45 years, but such a lot has changed in community radio, in politics, in arts and education. How important is community radio in 2022?
Well, you look, I think it's still really important, actually, because it's a kind of collective process of content making. It's both a community of people that make up a community radio station in and of itself quite broad and with lots of sort of tendrils and networks into the broader community. And it's reflective of the broader community. And, you know, unlike online media and social media, it's not just an individual perspective. It's part of a station, it's part of an identity, something like RTR that always had such strong connections through the entire sort of music, arts, cultural sort of framework of Perth and stations like that around the country. And at the same time, you sort of have a responsibility in broadcast to encompass a kind of set of community values, a kind of responsibility about what you say, what you play, why you say it, feedback from other people. Whereas, you know, social media is a kind of articulation of a very sort of individualistic perspective. And, you know, we live in a, as you said, we live in an entirely, it seems like an entirely different world in so many ways. But I think, you know, there's also really kind of critical social issues that require discussion at a community level about what people think and how they feel about issues and what they enjoy, you know, which I guess is the kind of music and arts and entertainment and things that make our lives worth living. So unlike the sort of late 70s where the only place you might hear new music was a station like RTR, even so, it's still someone's particular kind of take on music or a genre of music or things that you might never have heard before or might not have been exposed to, or a local event that you might not have known about any other way. You know, there's just such a huge mixture of kind of perspectives and information and entertainment that comes through in a radio service like RTR. And I think that's still really valuable.
I know that Kath Letch would contest this with me, but she's the OG of RTR-FM as far as I'm concerned. There are other people, of course, a community of volunteers and staff that made it happen and are part of why we are here today celebrating 45 years and later going to count down our 45 favourite tracks, WA tracks of the last gazillion years. Before we play what you've requested, Kath, what are you listening to now? What kind of music do you listen to now?
Oh, well, look, still pretty much the same kinds of range that I've been listening to for the last 45 years, which is pretty much sort of everything except trad jazz and death metal. and so, you know, I don't know, it's a whole kind of range of things. My latest favourite album is an album that I randomly came across called Vanished Gardens. And it's Lucinda Williams with a jazz band, Charles Lloyd in the Marvels. And so that's what's been, you know, getting some play on the CD player lately. But really, you know, there's just such a wonderful world of music and still, you know, really long-term favourites. You know, the typical favourites of my generation, really, in a sense. You know, I'm still listening to Patti Smith.
We're still playing her.
Yeah.
It's true. We're going to play some Black Eyed Susans.
Hey, Kath. Yes. So we've had some like amazing feedback about your swearing. Actually, I don't think you'd get a 2-week ban in 2022. JB has said that it's great to hear some well placed and considered swearing. And Mill remembers very clearly listening to you in '93, '94, hearing you on the phone while doing a graveyard broadcast, asking her what's going on in the studio. So definitely. definitely fondly remembered as well, Kath. Something that you fondly remember is the Black Eyed Susans, and you've requested Ocean of You. Why is that track? Why is that track so so memorable to you? What is it about that track?
Well, there's lots of sort of connections, I guess, around that. That Ocean of You was on an album called Welcome Stranger that came out in '92, which was just after RTI went back to air, and it's a David McCoon song, who I think is, you know, a fantastic Australian songwriter and musician. I'm sure the Triffids will be featuring in that list of 45 songs somewhere. There would be something dramatic whoever voted on the 45 song list, if they're not. And so it's a David McCombe song.
It's beautiful.
Like so many of David McCombe's songs, it's, you know, poetry. And it was interesting because, you know, Welcome Stranger had a version of In the Pines, which was, you know, a Triffids album from somewhere in the late 80s. And in fact, was the kind of motivation for calling the In the Pines event In the Pines. It was, I could see the Triffids album cover the day we were sitting around the kitchen or somewhere, kind of going, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could do, you know, an event at the Somerville. And so there's lots of associations with the Triffids, David McCombe, and in fact, there's this fantastic film which I'm sure has been talked about on RTR, Love in Bright Landscapes, written and directed by a very long-term Triple R broadcaster, Jonathan Alley, on Dave McCombe, and sort of hitting theatres soon. So it just had lots of associations, and it's a lovely song, like so many of David McCombe's songs.
Kath Lech, thank you so much. Massive love and respect from all of us here at RTR. We're going to play you a song because you requested it. And thank you again for chatting with us on Artbeat.
Thanks, Kath.
Lovely to talk with you. Happy birthdays to everyone.